The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Oh, hello. Good evening. Welcome to Happy Hour. I still get a kick out of the name every time I say it. I don't know about you guys. So, how many people are new to Happy Hour here for the first time? Great. Welcome. Fantastic. Wonderful. So, just to tell you what we do every Happy Hour every week, every Wednesday at this time, we take a theme having to do with the practice of the heart, and I speak about it for just a few minutes. And then the bulk of the time is really a guided meditation. And then afterwards we do a few minutes of practice in community, then we have time for Q&A. And an hour goes pretty quickly. So with that, the theme that I'd like to offer for today's reflection is exploring joy, exploring happiness. One thing that's really important as a part of the practice is actually happiness, joy, bliss, tranquility, gladness, all of these qualities. When you study the suttas, the teachings of the Buddha, you see that they're all these steps in so many different suttas and the teachings that you see. Oh, this leads to gladness, and gladness leads to joy, and joy leads to tranquility, and tranquility leads to bliss, and bliss leads to mind getting content and quiet and unified, samadhi, and that leads to seeing things as they are, etc. And you go down the list, leads to this, and then leads to liberation, leads to awakening, leads to freedom, nibbana. But the steps, there are many, many steps in there that have to do with joy, with gladness, bliss, exploring all these beautiful qualities. So these are wholesome qualities, wholesome states of mind to explore and cultivate. It's not just about suffering. You know, there's plenty of suffering. But there's also, this practice really has to do about cultivating these wholesome qualities of the heart and mind. The Buddha was called the happy one, not the serious one. You know, a lot of times when we practice, we kind of put our serious meditator look on, and okay, I'm going to sit and I'm going to meditate, and it's exhausting. It's tiring. It's actually counterproductive. In fact, relaxing, receiving, and cultivating these wholesome qualities is a much more productive way to go about it. I'll say one last thing before offering the guided meditation, and that is a reminder that, you know, the story goes that when the Buddha was sitting under the Bodhi tree, and the night of his enlightenment, he had tried many, many ascetic practices, more, you know, not eating and really hard and sitting. And while he was sitting under the Bodhi tree, a memory of his childhood comes to him, that he was sitting under the rose apple tree when he was a child, and he was left under the shade of a tree, and his parents were in the field, and just he remembers that it was so cool and comfortable, and he was filled with joy and bliss and delight, and his mind fell into a calm samadhi, a calm unified state. And then when he's sitting under the rose, under the Bodhi tree, he says, oh, maybe that's the way to enlightenment. It's not this self-mortification I've been doing. Maybe it's the joy. Maybe that ease, that contentment that I experienced when I was a child. And that leads him to awakening. So all of this to say, we're going to explore joy and gladness and delight and the good, the beautiful qualities of the heart, and there's nothing wrong with it. These are wholesome practices. You're not doing it wrong if you explore the ease, the joy, the happiness that's available to you. We all have both a healthy helping of suffering in our lives and also opportunities for joy and delight and happiness. So tonight, we're going to turn our mind a little bit towards the joy. How does that sound? A plan? Okay, all right. So with that, I'd like to suggest that, especially if you're new, this is a good time to go get props so that you're comfortable. It's okay to get up and go get more cushions and all. And if you're already seated, I suggest you move your body a little bit back and forth and just find your seat, your center of gravity, where it's really comfortable for you to be landing. Maybe roll your shoulders back a little bit, kind of see what your body needs. Wake up your upper body a little bit. Yeah, maybe your neck too, if it feels appropriate. Maybe your arms, actually, yeah. Let's just wake up the upper body a little bit. Give it a little bit of TLC. Speaking of joy, feel the joy of movement. How lovely it is to move this body. Okay. Now moving back and forth, your sit bones, and just landing, finding your center of gravity. And just settling. Settling to your base, letting your base be stable, sitting stably. And letting your whole torso be lifted up from your stable base. And relaxing your whole body, all the muscles, allowing your torso to be straight, supported from the inside, rising up to the sky, just held up from within, from the inner strength, inner structure of your bones. As if there's a sense of gravity pulling up on your head, as if there's a magnet kind of pulling up gently. It's pulling up on its own, and the rest of your body, your arms, your muscles, everything else can just relax. Can be soft, as soft as possible. You're held up from the inside. The body is soft and relaxed. Softening your forehead. Softening your face. Softening and relaxing your jaw. Letting your eyes rest in the socket. Your cheeks, your ears, relax and soft. Letting your shoulders be soft, your arms, your hands. your fingers resting. Your chest, your back, upper back and lower back, your belly soft, relaxed, your sit bones, groin, upper legs, lower legs and feet, feeling your whole body soft and relaxed. If there's any tension crept in anywhere, with the out-breath, let go and soften some more. And if you notice there's some areas where there's just tension, it's okay. Befriend. Befriend the tension. Befriend the tightness. It doesn't have to go away. Just make space for it. Now let the breath move through you naturally. You've been breathing all this time without making a big deal out of it, making it into a project. So just let the breath move in and out naturally. As if it's a breeze, a gentle breeze. It's nature moving on its own. And just simply notice. Notice the bellowing of the belly, expanding, contracting. Simply observing, not so much doing. The breath does itself. You don't have to breathe. Just observing what's already happening. And if you find your mind wanders and is now resting on a thought, a memory, a plan, it's okay. You're not doing the practice wrong. Just simply notice. what the attention is resting on now, and without any judgment, with as much friendliness as possible, invite the attention to rest on the breath, the movements of the breath, just to calm and collect the mind for a little while more before we move on. Just simply this breath, simply this in-breath, simply this out-breath. Just this in-breath, just feeling the sensations of this out-breath. So now I'd like to invite you, as we proceed with exploring a teaching on arising of gladness in the mind, gladness, pamoja in Pali. First, I'd like to invite you to say hello to the judgmental mind that we all have, because as we're going to engage in this practice, there might be judgments coming up, self-evaluations. So let's just call for the judgmental mind and voice, which is not personal. It's just evaluative, comparative, and just bow to it and say, hello, friend, I see you. Hello, hi. And have it just sit on the side for a moment. Ask if it's okay for it to just sit on the side and just chill while you engage in the practice. You'll see what I mean in a moment. So the practice we'll engage in is contemplating, reflecting on our own goodness, our own wholesome behavior. You know, we're all a mixed bag, of course. There's both wholesome things we've done and maybe not so wholesome things. And what I mean by wholesome, they're defined as acts of love and care. acts of generosity, non-clinging, letting go, and acts of wisdom, non-hatred, non-greed, non-delusion. So non-hatred is acts of love, acts of care. Non-greed is acts of generosity, relinquishment, letting go, non-clinging in the heart, and acts of non-ignorance, wisdom, when you've acted with wisdom. So contemplating on your own inner goodness, and bringing up perhaps a time that you were generous to someone. Maybe you were generous in your words, in your actions. Maybe you were generous with your resources. Maybe with your time or your support for a friend, a colleague, or a stranger, someone you didn't know. And allow yourself to really appreciate the goodness in this generosity. It's a wholesome act, it's a wholesome practice to reflect on your own goodness, your own generosity. Maybe you were generous with other resources. Maybe you gifted something. Whatever it might be, let yourself reflect on the generosity, non-clinging. Non-attachment of the heart. And don't take it for granted. See this inner goodness as a dear friend would. And let gladness arise. Let gladness arise. Realizing, oh, that was really nice. That was generous. That was generous of me. That was kind. Maybe acts of kindness, of loving kindness, of metta, of friendliness. Whether it was today, yesterday, or decades ago, maybe when you were young, it does not matter. Maybe you went out of your way to be kind and supportive, friendly to a stranger, or to a friend, or to an animal. Reflecting on that goodness. Allowing a gentle sense of appreciation, of gladness to arise. It can be soft. If you find judgment arising, self-evaluation, oh, you're not that good, you're not that generous. Bow to this voice. Bow to it and ask it to sit to the side. It's okay. Thank you. I hear your opinion. Thank you very much. And continue with the practice. It's just a thought. You don't have to believe it. Get out of your own way. Who are you not to recognize your own inner goodness? Who are you to deny that? Who are you to deny and not appreciate your own inner beauty and light and grace? Let it be seen. Let the goodness be recognized. Let it shine. When it is seen, acknowledged, it can grow more, it can shine more brightly. And be cultivated. You can reflect also on a time when you acted with wisdom. You took the high road. You could have taken the low road, but you didn't. Maybe you were humble. Maybe you saw clearly your own failing with wisdom. Maybe you apologized. Something simple. Can also reflect on the time you acted ethically. It was tempting, it was so convenient to lie, perhaps, but you didn't. You told the truth. Or perhaps it was so easy to kill an insect and you didn't. You carried it out carefully, respecting life. Or it was so easy, it would have been so easy to take what was not yours, to steal. And you didn't. Either stealing information, maybe it was so easy, it would have been so easy to read or take something that didn't belong to you and you didn't. Or a time that would have been easy. An easier choice to get completely intoxicated, and that one time you decided not to. You decided to stay clear-headed. Whatever it might be, any of the precepts, any of the aspects of ethics, Allow this reflection to arise in you. Gladness. Not to judge yourself for all the times you didn't, but for the times you did, for the times you did act ethically. Just to highlight them, just to recognize them. Allow the mind to recognize, appreciate. We so often focus on the negative, on what we do wrong, what we do poorly, and all the mistakes. This once, just for now, you can go back to judging yourself later, but just now, for this period of practice, let your mind rest in the goodness. The wholesome behavior, ethical behavior, ethical wholesome behavior. In Pali, kusalani silani. Allow your mind to reflect on whatever is most juicy for you, whether it's your generosity, kindness, acts of wisdom, or instances of ethical behavior. Whatever is more alive for you, you're welcome to explore that. And let it arise, or be a cause for the arising of gladness, of delight, pamoja in Pali. And if your mind gets too wrapped up in stories, let go of the stories and come back and just rest in your body with the feeling, with the sensations. What it feels like to have been generous, the feeling of giving, generosity, letting go, or being kind to someone. Just the feeling of being, acting with wisdom or ethically, really feeling it in the body, not in your head, not the stories, but feeling it in the body. What does it feel like? The feeling of generosity, of love, of care, a of letting go, of renunciation. Feeling the feeling in the body. And see if there is some gladness in between the spaces of the heart as you feel, as you relish the feeling of generosity, kindness, love, affection, care, friendliness. Ethical compass. And for however this period of reflection, meditation went, I invite you to hold yourself with care, acceptance, appreciation. You've tried. You aligned yourself with your highest intentions. Whatever the result was, not to be attached to it, not to judge yourself for it. May I accept and love myself just as I am. So, what we usually do at this time is we engage in a little bit of practice, relational practice. So Many have reported in the past that the relational practice has been as interesting and beneficial as the silent internal sitting. So basically, here are the instructions for the next part. In a moment, we'll get into groups of three. And if you've come here with someone, I suggest you get into a different group and meet others. And the first instruction is to stay embodied as you can. Feel your body as you're talking and as you're listening, staying embodied. So when you're listening, you'll be listening twice and speaking once. As you're listening, you're holding a kind, accepting space. It's a practice. This is a sandbox. So we're doing this as a practice. You're holding, accepting space for whatever the other person is saying. They can say no wrong. Just you're practicing holding spacious presence, accepting, kind. What does that feel like to be embodied and hold a kind space and listen to another human being from that perspective? And when you're speaking, again, you try to stay embodied, though it's a little harder. We tend to get in our heads. Not impossible, but feel your body and share from your heart whatever feels comfortable. You don't have to say everything. I mean, just say whatever feels appropriate. And the prompt is, what was this practice period like for you? And there is no right or wrong answers. If you fell asleep through the whole thing, you can say that, and that's perfectly fine. No judgment. It's just, what was it like for you? Something you can share, what you observed, and you say it was terrible. That's perfectly fine. It was great. That's fine too. It doesn't matter. It's a practice in holding space, speaking and witnessing. Clear? Okay. So now I invite you to get into groups of three, please. And it's best to be on the same level, either all in a chair or all on the floor. And each person will talk for like 1 or 2 minutes. It's not very long. Just 1 or 2 minutes. Go. And you can also be in groups of four if we're not divisible by three. What are we today? I think we are, yeah, one group of four. Oh, and actually, wait, no, we're good. Divisible by three. Look at that. Say, tell your names to each other and then just go for it. And remember, this is a practice. Stay embodied. Stay embodied. Hold kind, caring space for one another. It's a practice. Okay, whoever wants to start, start. Remember to stay embodied. Feel your body. Feel your feet on the floor. Remember, you're listening with kindness, with acceptance. listening with care, with kindness. Remember to feel your body as you're listening, as you're talking. Raise your hand if your group needs more time. Okay, we'll take another minute or two. Okay, we'll wrap up in another minute, so whatever you're saying, make sure everybody has had time to speak. Okay, let's wrap it up. Thank your partners. And come back to the big group. Okay. All right. Do you need to restart it, Bhupal? Did you pause it or no? All right. So, but you have mics. You're ready. Great. So, great. Now we have time for some comments, observations, questions, complaints, you know, whatever you've got. So we have a few minutes. So please, don't be shy.
Thank you. Yeah, so I just want to acknowledge it's the relational part has never been my favorite part of the happy hour sit. But today when you explained it, like I heard it in a different way. And what I heard was like, this is, it's a practice in relating to other people.
Yes.
It's not just us sitting around talking about what our meditation
yes.
is like. Yeah. And you know, I want to say why that matters to me
yeah.
personally is that like, I could come here and I'm not like, I haven't been meditating for a hugely long time, but I could see that I could make a lifetime out of just coming here and sitting by myself. And whatever happens for myself will happen, but that's not like me growing like 360 degrees as a human being. Like there's a spiritual part, but there's a part in how I relate to other people and how I grow emotionally and intellectually. Like all of that is together. So Ashley, thank you for making us do this, because now I understand. And now I actually feel a lot more joyful even than when I was sitting. Like after we did this, I actually feel happier. Yeah.
Great. Thank you for that. That's awesome. That's exactly it. I couldn't have said it any better. It really is a practice, and it's there's a joy, as you said, in relating to others and it's just as important as a practice as the first part. Maybe even more important in some ways, I would say, and more happy making.
Because we don't do it as much, in a focused, conscious way as we do, like sitting for 45 minutes.
That's right. We do a lot of that here at IMC. We do a lot of silent sitting on your own. So this is kind of changing the form a little bit. So great. Thank you. Awesome. So any comments about either practice, first or second? Yeah.
So that was very good, first of all. I really enjoyed it.
Great.
So sometimes for generosity, I do something for somebody or whatever, and there's a pride, usually almost all the time, I think there's some pride there.
Uh-huh.
And to me, the pride is kind of like the opposite. The pride is the ego. Yeah. You know, you do it for a selfish reason sometimes, to make yourself feel better.
Yeah.
And then other times, I was thinking of generosity maybe, something more obscure. If I see something that needs to be done, like I go out and I need to sweep something,
mm-hmm.
I kind of do it out as a responsibility or whatever else. Mm-hmm. But both ways, it's to me, it doesn't seem like it's like a true selfless act.
Yeah.
So you're kind of balancing it in the negative.
I'm so glad you bring this up.
Positive.
I'm so glad you brought this up. So I have a lot to say, but I kind of wait for people to bring things up. I'm so glad you brought this up because it's perfectly fine. When you really look clearly, you'll realize that acts of generosity and other acts, they have mixed motivations, and it's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. We are a mixed bag. You could be giving a really nice big generous gift to someone because first you really care about them, you really want them to have it, so there's some generosity there, and maybe there's a little bit of you want them to like you, you want them to give you a big gift back. I mean, it can be just like lots of different, but there's all just to recognize, oh, there is that generosity, there is that giving of, and to just accept that there could be mixed motivations and not just to shine the light. We're like, yeah, okay, it's like this, because just seeing that with clarity, without judgment, helps you see it more and more clearly moving forward, instead of judging it. Of course we're all we have mixed motivations. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. There's some responsibility, as you mentioned, some of this, a little bit of generosity, a little bit of letting go. It's all good. So thank you for bringing that up, because, yeah, it's hard. It's, you know, it's when you really, really get down to it, seeing 100%, like really pure, complete generous with anything else, and there's like, no, it's okay, we're all human, it's fine. So again, thanks for bringing that up. We have limited time, guys, so if something is percolating, go for it. Questions, comments?
It was very interesting. We were in a group of three different people with different backgrounds, with parents from different countries, and we all had very similar problem in praising ourselves.
Yeah.
And we were trying to figure out why, and it was definitely cultural and parental conditioning.
Yeah.
It was very easy to remember something bad about
yes,
yourself
right.
and start beating yourself
right.
up, but just remember good things about yourself. And
yeah.
it was remarkable how similar it was
yeah.
for three people with very different histories.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you for sharing that. That's why it's a practice. You know, there can be cultural conditioning. Oh, you're tooting your own horn and you're being, you know. And this is not about that. This is not, this practice is just recognizing your own goodness. It's not about blowing your ego out of the water. Oh, look at how great. It's not about that. It's about seeing the goodness, because when you see the goodness, you help it grow. You help the goodness grow. Oh yeah, there is goodness. Ah, and it becomes a cause for gladness. So, and it's a beautiful practice, and one way to cultivate it, again, is to see yourself from the perspective of a dear friend, someone who really cares about you and sees your inner light, sees your goodness. Look at yourself from their perspective as a stepping stone to seeing yourself. So thank you for that. And in the remaining minute, I wanted to point out to you that the teaching today, for those of you who are interested from the source, it was drawn from the Kimatiya Sutta, which is translated as What Purpose is the Name. And it's from Anguttara Nikaya 10.1, the Book of Tens. And basically, it's the first few steps. So it's the contemplating wholesome, virtuous behavior, Kusalana Silani in Pali, which leads to non-regret. And contemplating that leads to delight or gladness, or translated as joy, which is Pamoja. So I kind of skip the non-regret, because that kind of comes up anyway. It's like, oh, you're delighted. Oh, I'm glad I didn't lie. Oh, that makes you happy. So that's already in there. Or, oh, it was so nice to be generous. Oh, there's non-regret. I'm glad I did that. I'm not unhappy. I did not do double negative. Anyway, complicated. But that step is already in there, but it's basically the contemplation of wholesome behavior and ethical behavior leading to gladness, which also then leads to the other steps in the sutta. Now you know where it is if you want to go and look at it. So, and it is 7:00. Our time is up. So I want to thank you all for coming to Happy Hour and practicing together. May you be happy and contemplate your own goodness. and may it be a cause and conditions for freedom of all beings, including us. Okay. Thank you.